You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith, and today's episode is called Just Leave.
Making room for the Holy Spirit. Hey, but before we get to our content today, I want to let everyone know about something that's on the horizon. Now, we don't have an exact date for this yet, but I want you to know that we are going to be starting a video podcast, and we're going to start it on Patreon. So if you don't know what Patreon is, it is a way that we can connect people with more content, and it only, I'm not going to say it only costs you so much, but it's a way that you can support the mission of the Nick Smith Podcast, and also we can bless you with more content.
Yeah, so it's an exclusive kind of way to become a Nick Smith Podcastonite.
A podcastonite.
Ooh. I just made that up.
I think our counters are made of podcastonite, I think is what is the material.
Yeah, it feels like it.
But so that's going to be coming soon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please go look us up on Patreon. You can support us with as little as you can or as much as you're able to bless us with. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And all money goes to help the ministry of the Nick Smith Podcast.
Yes.
Awesome. So, Kylie Jo, why are we talking about just leave? First off, are we just telling people to leave? Like, what's going on? What
is, just get out. Just go. Just, we've had a lot of visitors. I'm just kidding. No. So we recently, if you have been listening to the past few episodes, you probably already know this. But if not, just to tell you, we've been gone a lot. We've had to physically, geographically be gone from our home, from our home church. And it's been a lot of traveling.
Yeah, we've been going everywhere.
Yeah, and it's easy for us to feel guilty, or even shameful at times for going places outside of our community in this season.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because there's this expectation that if you ever leave, you're going on vacation.
Yeah.
So if you ever go anywhere outside of your normal routine, and I think that comes because people don't understand ministry as a vocation.
Yeah.
Like ministry isn't just, hey, you punch a clock, you go to work, and then you're done and you get to go home and you get your 2 weeks of vacation every year.
Mm-hmm.
And any extra time you leave, you're obviously just gallivanting. I've been waiting for a long time to use that properly. you're out gallivanting.
Check that one off your list.
Thank
you. That word
I got
used.
That one done. But so then we start to internalize that, like, oh man, we're gone. And so we should feel guilty because we're on all these vacations. But here's the thing. We're not actually on vacation whenever we leave.
Yeah.
And a lot of pastors, a lot of people in ministry, a lot of other jobs as well. When people step outside of their normal office hours, or if they have to take trips, if they have to travel, it's not just vacation. And for us, at least, I can't speak for everybody. There are times where it's like, I would rather be home. I would rather have office hours and be 9 to 5, because packing up kids and driving 15, 19 hours in a car is not always fun.
True.
So the reality is that whenever God has been calling us to do something, it really is an obedience factor.
Yeah.
It's that we have a task or an opportunity to minister or to be in a situation that would bless others, and God calls us or puts these opportunities in front of us. And so it would be disobedient of us to be like, nah, God, we're going to chill because I don't want to upset folk.
or I don't want to feel bad.
I don't want to feel bad. You know, what's feeling bad? I don't need that in my life. I don't need that negativity, God. But what we have to understand, or had to understand, is that our absence in any area of our life, when intentional, that's the little caveat, is as important as our presence. And so we have to move in every decision knowing that.
Yeah. And we kind of had this conversation as we've been traveling and kind of discovering what it looks like to accept this truth that that our absence has been as important as our presence. And we started to talk about how we have to be really discerning And that word you used, intentional, is perfect. But discerning about when, what?
When? I always talk like this. When?
I don't know. We were in Tennessee at one point, so I think that's why I slipped into that, or in Kentucky. When? About when and where and why we are gone.
Yeah.
Because it does have to be something that you understand, and you can also articulate to someone else if they ask.
Yeah.
We have to know the areas where we are prone in our ministry or our family or any relationship where we're prone to micromanage or undercommit. And then in those areas, we need to make room for the Holy Spirit to minister as we're gone. Not to say that, you know, when we say, okay, Holy Spirit, now there's room for you. But because he's there anyway.
Yeah, like he's waiting for our permission.
Right.
He's
thank you. Thank you. May I?
Oh, can I? No, can I get it? No.
Oh, good.
Can I get
you stepped out. Oh. Now I can have a turn. But no, just to know that for our hearts, that intentionality of, okay, when I'm gone for this, there is something that I believe and I trust that the Holy Spirit's going to be able to speak to someone and show them something that maybe I've been trying to show them in my own strength, that now that I'm gone, he can come in and he can give the revelation that's needed.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know, I'm just speaking for me here, because as a person in recovery for control issues, I like to think that I am important to every decision. I like to think that if I'm not there, things don't get done.
Yeah.
And
that's because you're a good Christian.
Well, that's right.
A good American Christian. Yes.
You better. But the truth is that I don't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. And I don't have a monopoly on revelation from the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't have to be the only one that does certain things. But when I make myself pivotal for situations, then I'm not allowing the ministry to grow. And a couple things that I've learned in our ministry thus far. One, I heard from a pastor who says, you can be the limiting factor of your ministry.
Wow.
If you're not willing to allow other people to make decisions, if you're not willing to allow other people to lead, and you're not willing to do that, trusting that God is in control ultimately, then you become the limiting factor of that ministry. And that works in not just ministry, but depth in relationships.
Yeah.
Any other job that you have, if you're in management or any sort of upper level, if you can become the limiting factor of that department. And then the other is this this book that I read by Henri Nouwen.
Henri Nouwen. Oh.
But he's
Jack Lapidus.
If you don't know that reference, just sit back, relax. It's okay. Henri Nouwen is how I'm going to say it. Henri is, I think, is how you actually say it. He wrote this book called The Living Reminder. And in the book, it's actually for people in ministry, but it works in all walks of life. And it goes right along what we're talking about. And it says, basically, we are supposed to be living reminders of Christ.
Yeah.
And what did Christ do before he ascended? He said, it's better for you that I leave.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be the one that ushers you into all truth.
Right.
And reveals all of he's the great comforter. He's the healer.
Yeah. The advocate.
The advocate. Yeah. And so we're supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we've been talking about this because we actually just got a message from a good friend of ours down in Burden, Kansas.
Yeah.
And Burden was the place we were before we came to Plainville. Whatever you had, I caught it. It's right here. Plainville. Before we came to Plainville, we were in Burden. And
yes, those names are real.
Yeah, we're not making this up for the radio.
These are real town names.
We're not stunting for the gram. Like, that's actually places where we've lived.
Yes.
But what our friend said was that the ministries that we were praying for and about while we were serving in that community are now starting to come into fruition. There are things that are happening in that community that we prayed for that weren't dependent on us. Even though God gave us a vision for that community, God gave us insight about what was needed. It wasn't for us to reap the harvest. It wasn't for us to see that happen. And do you remember when we were leaving Burden, or we were praying about leaving? And we were wrestling with this idea of, like, if we leave, who's going to finish this?
Yeah.
This yeah. is stuff that God gave us to do. God, like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
About you're calling me away, but yet there's still undone stuff.
Yeah. It was hard because we, not only did we feel that God had given us these tasks to complete or to at least start in some way, but we also felt that, well, if we leave, no one's going, like, who's going to have the same discipline or have the same joy or passion for this
yeah.
that we have? Like, in our eyes, in our limited perspective, we were the only driving force.
That's right.
Which was very arrogant and wrong yeah. of us to think that. But
self-centered, but, all yeah. sorts of stuff.
And the Lord worked on us with that. But through that, it was so humbling to have that revelation that, oh, wait a minute, this isn't about what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's not about even the little bits of things that we had accomplished. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's not about checking that off a list.
Yeah.
Like, look what we did while we were here. And it's easy in ministry, at least, to get wrapped up in that, especially when you're doing itinerant ministry.
Yeah.
Because, well, I was only here for, 2 years, but look at all the things I did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but what happened after that? Like, most people don't even go back to, like, well, what happened in the 4 years after you were gone? Was there anything that came from what you started? Or was that just while you were there, this happened?
Yeah, if there's no longevity, if there's nothing that carries on past your time there,
mm-hmm.
Then you got to really start to think, is this something that God called me to
mm-hmm.
for the long haul? Or is this something that was busy work while I was there?
Yeah.
And it can be both. There can be things that don't carry on
yeah.
that God calls you to, like, lay the groundwork, lay the foundation for someone to come build on.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that we want to take claim. We want to yeah. lay claim to. We
yeah.
want to have a list of accolades, and we forget that success in any area is a gift.
Yeah.
Success in any area. And I know someone out there is thinking, like, no, success, you work for success. And you, yeah, and that's part of that is true. Yeah, you do have to work. You do have to put in the effort. But in the same vein, you can have two people working really hard on very similar projects and one succeed and one not.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason, just everything was right with one of them. It wasn't just that person. It was
yeah.
all these other elements that came to be. And so we have to remember that success in any way, shape, or form is a gift.
Yeah.
And when we think of it that way, it's no longer about our efforts and what we have done, but yeah. it's more about leaving that room for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. One of the things we were exposed to, I don't remember how it came up. I know you were reading My Utmost.
Yes. If you don't have a daily devotional, there's one, there will be one coming out from the Nick Smith podcast. So be on the lookout for
yes.
that devotional. But one of the ones that I like to read is My Utmost for His Highest
yeah.
by Oswald Chambers.
Yeah. So I think you were reading it just as part of your normal daily devotions. Yeah. And for the season where we were praying about and fasting about the decision to leave Burden, the lesson for that day was actually about absence in ministry.
That's right.
And from Matthew 11,
yeah.
where he said, you referenced it before, that it is better for you that I leave.
Well, no, the passage in Matthew 11 that you're thinking about is when Jesus tells his disciples, he sends them out. And then when he sends them out, Jesus himself goes and preaches in their town.
That's right. That's right.
And so I remember that passage because it stuck with me for so long.
Yeah.
And also because I'm a pastor and I have the whole Bible memorized.
Right.
That's actually not true. I use Google a lot. but the passage there that talks about that, Jesus tells his disciples, hey, you guys leave. Mm-hmm. And while he was gone, Jesus himself, like, how cool is that to be like, hey, Jesus sent me on this mission and he's going to come preach while yeah. I'm gone. He's going to fill the pulpit.
Right. Like,
that would be awesome if yeah. that would happen. But yeah, that's the
that's comfort. The reference.
Yeah, that's the reference in Matthew 11.
Yeah. And so reading that and studying that, it really was, I mean, that honestly, it was the Holy Spirit that gave us that message right when we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as a kind of a, I don't know, a preparation for what we would have to do
yeah.
to allow him to come in and minister. Because again, we know that the Holy Spirit is, he's moving and working mm-hmm. constantly, always just bringing people to a knowledge of himself and knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross for us. But it's so easy to, what is it, quench the Holy Spirit, to kind of drown him out, to kind of, yeah. I'm going to do this in my own way. And I'm going to do this ministry. I'm here for 2 years. So I'm going to, you know, get all these tasks fulfilled. And the whole time, like, well, the Holy Spirit's still working, but did you ever actually experience him in the midst of your ministry? Did you ever give credence to what he was doing, or was everything motivated and driven by you and your presence?
Yeah.
And so we had to wrestle with those questions of like, okay, well, how do we now step away? Like, are we doing so in faith that the Lord's going to come and he's going to continue whatever he started? Or are we worried that if we leave, well, all these things that we did now will be undone?
And one thing I want to address real quick while I'm thinking about it is, we're not talking about leaving and being just an absentee person.
Right.
We're not talking about being a derelict of your duties. We're not mm-hmm. talking about just ignoring responsibilities.
Right.
Because there is this lackadaisical attitude that can come in, this presuming on grace that can mm-hmm. be like, well, if I don't do it, the Holy Spirit will fix it. He'll figure it out.
Right.
And that we're talking about intentional absence.
Yeah.
When you really know, like, okay, there's something that I want to get done, but God is calling me to focus elsewhere.
Yeah.
I have to trust in that absence. And it doesn't just stop with church stuff.
Right.
Because this goes beyond a job.
Mm-hmm.
This goes into our lives. I know it shows you areas of your life where you're fighting for control.
Yeah.
It shows you areas of your life where you're making yourself pivotal, where you're making yourself more important than you need to be.
Yeah.
In those situations.
Yeah. I think that parenting does that.
Yeah.
Because definitely. I don't want to leave out dads, but I think for motherhood, it's especially in those young, I say those, we're still in the young developmental age.
Our kids are so old.
Our kids are so,
you know, five and, I mean,
they're
two.
They're pretty much old enough to get jobs.
But,
but really in these younger years, we're so necessary.
Yeah.
Mommy is like important. Well, she's important all the time, but
yeah, but no, you're like life.
Like, yeah.
Mommy equals life.
Yeah. And so like, I'm like, for those young moms with newborn babies, especially the newborn phase is the hardest one to break away from. It's so hard to be absent because you're vital to the survival of your child.
It's true.
But at a certain point you will need to make that an intentional, meaningful time for you, because being a mother is draining, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so having that structure of, okay, I'm going to need to be gone. You know, it's maybe an hour at first. I'm just going to need an hour of time where I'm physically separated from you. It recharges you. It gives you that independence where you remember, oh, I am a human being. I was a human being before I had a child. Like, I had interests and I had dreams and goals and all these passions that God put inside of me.
Yeah.
And those are good.
Amen.
And so, and as I think as our children get a little bit older, we need a little bit more time away, maybe a little bit more distance.
Right.
Maybe it's not just the next room. Maybe it's, you know, at the coffee shop down the street.
Hey, take a weekend with grandma.
I'm leaving
grandpa.
Hints. I'm just leaving little hints. No, my husband does a great job of giving me time away.
When with this being back to school season, you mm-hmm. see a lot of, especially parents who have kindergartners and first graders that are weeping and wailing. And I'm like, we homeschool for now. That's the season we're in.
Yes.
And I know if we were sending Isaiah off to school, I'd probably be that dad.
Oh yeah.
That was like, you know what? I'm just going to hang out at the school and make sure everything's cool.
I'm going to audit this class.
Yeah. I need to remember my colors and shapes.
Right,
so I'm going to go ahead
and
sit in the back on this one. But it's important for us to know as parents, especially in this season, that Jesus loves your kids as much as you do, even more.
Way more than you
and
ever
so,
could.
As we are thinking like, man, my kid needs me right now.
Mm-hmm.
He needs me. A lot of times we need to be thinking like, my kid needs to learn to rely on Christ.
Yes.
And not that I'm just kicking him out and being like, go get a job, scrub.
Yeah.
But telling myself that, you know what, I've prayed and I've trusted and we've made good decisions. Mm-hmm. And so this opportunity, this time away is intentional and it's good.
And even if you haven't, like I'm thinking, you're thinking of like younger kids. I'm thinking of the parents sending their child off to college.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't have that understanding of, well, I've done everything I could to set you up. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is that like, oh my gosh, did we cover everything? Like, are you really ready for this? Am I really ready for this? Well, the good news is that the grace of God has gone before you, and the grace of God will sustain your child even in that. The grace of God, the Holy Spirit, He is able to be present where you are not.
That's right.
And so your absence from their life does make room for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Where they would normally be listening for your voice, whether it's, you know, listening in a way of like, oh, what's mom going to say? What's dad's opinion going to be of this? Now they are listening and more in tune maybe to what God has to say to them. Maybe without you there constantly interpreting the word for them.
Yeah. Or trying to be their constant guiding internal Jiminy Cricket.
Right.
And if you don't know who Jiminy Cricket is,
I'm so sorry.
Google it, ask an adult.
That's very sad.
Because you're clearly not grown. So you need.
So disappointed in you and your parents.
And
they obviously didn't.
Failed you. I'm just kidding. No. But yeah, we can do that as parents, as pastors, as managers, as just people in someone else's lives.
Yeah.
One of the ways that being absent actually helps us is it serves us so that we can see with fresh eyes things that we didn't see before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've experienced that recently.
You come back from a missions trip. I mean, those of you who have gone on one, and you start to see all the areas in your community that you can serve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like those areas just like appeared. They've always been there.
Right.
But because you've gone away intentionally and the Holy Spirit not only worked in your absence in that space, but worked on your heart and your eyes, that when you get back, you're like, wow, I'm rejuvenated.
Yeah.
I can see new areas. I see new opportunities.
Yeah.
But when you were talking about children, I can't tell you, there's been times where I'll be away from home, whether I'm doing visits or in the office or whatever. And then when we come back home, I'm like, oh, hey, I didn't realize this is a way that I can serve my wife or I can serve my children in a different way than what I would normally do in this position. And so it helps to leave room for the Holy Spirit because you're not that important, first off, but also the people that you love, the people that you're in charge of, responsible for, they need a relationship with Christ and they need to rely on something greater than you.
Yeah. Okay. So one personal testimony that I'd have is going to a women's retreat earlier this year, I think it was, and being away, it was only 3 days, 2 nights. So not that long. But one of the lessons that was taught was about motherhood and it was about specifically loving your children well. And I knew that I knew there were going to be lessons and teachings and all that, centering around family and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But the combination of being taught without my children with me and then having the time to really think about the lesson and absorb it and then think about ways to apply it and then to come home.
Yeah.
It was just like double life-giving.
That's
because
awesome.
It was like, oh, I get my time away and I'm learning something. And I have the time to process without having to worry about, okay, how do I apply this while I'm doing it?
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes you do just have to learn stuff that way. But the absence that I had was so necessary.
Yeah.
On a number of levels.
And allowing yourself to not feel guilty for that absence is important.
Yeah. It was freeing.
To trust that you can take time to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus is our example, right? And how many times did he just peace out to go be with his Father?
Yeah.
Like, listen, y'all do your thing. I'm going to be on the mountain praying. I'll get at you in the morning. Like, I got stuff to do.
Yes.
And it wasn't that he was neglecting his flock.
Mm-mm.
It was that he needed that time away to be filled, to be refocused, to be repurposed.
Yeah.
And I know some people are out there like, but he was God. He didn't need that time away. He was also 100% man.
Yeah.
And the flesh, the humanity in him needed time to focus and refocus and be re-energized. But unlike Christ, one of the things that happens in our lives is we see the areas that we have lack also.
Yeah.
So when we come back, so like for me, when we got back from Tennessee just recently, I started to really have this burden on my heart to do more home visits.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that I didn't see the lack before. There's a lot of things I do well. Home visit scheduling is not one of them.
Right.
Because I just lose track of time or any other excuse I can come up. Insert mm-hmm. excuse here. But there's all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
But what God put on my heart is there's a necessary purpose for these home visits.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow, God, thank you for showing me gently that I need to be more intentional about going out and being with people mm-hmm. in their homes and connecting with people.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool.
Yeah. For me, the thing that has come up the most is not feeling guilty
mm-hmm.
for following God's call on our ministry as a family. Because this, I mean, we have understood that God was going to move and he's going to move things quickly and start doing things in our ministry. And we didn't understand what that meant, I think, until this season where it's like, oh, like we're going to need to be like going places and doing different things.
Literally
and
moving our family.
Literally. Yeah.
From one place to another.
Right. And not in a sense of like relocation, but just like, okay, we're here 1 week and in 2 weeks we're going to be here. And it's all for his glory and it's all as a part of the ministry. But it's also easy for me in my struggle against codependency to feel bad for being gone because, mm-hmm. well, not just in a way of like, well, how is this going to get done if we're not here? But, well, how is that going to make people feel? What are people going to think if we're gone? And are we going to miss out? That FOMO, the fear of missing out on what's going on.
What'd you call me?
Our kids have FOMO disease and I have it too.
Fear of missing out. That's good.
Fear of missing out because, you know, what if when we're gone, here's one fear that's totally unfounded. What if when we're gone, like this crazy breakthrough happens, this revival breaks out and it's like, oh, shoot. Yeah, y'all can stay gone. Don't worry about coming back. You have fun on your whatever you're doing.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah, like, we're good. And that's silly to think that, but God has really removed that fear when we have to go because he's reminded us that I'm calling you to do this ministry. And this ministry is not confined to one area.
Yeah.
It is not confined to a particular state or state of mind.
Yeah.
And it's just been very freeing for our family, for my own heart as well.
And piggybacking off that for practical application, your ministry, whether it's 9 to 5, you work at a bank, you work wherever, you know, you're a school PE teacher, whatever you do, your ministry isn't confined just to the hours that you're working.
Right.
You have a time with people, with others that you get to be obedient to God. And then the time that you're away, you get to plant seeds.
Yeah.
I know that teachers, they get, you know, the school year and then all summer, these kids get to wild out and the teachers don't even know who they're going to be with, like which kids are going to be in their class and, you know, the seeds that they planted,
mm-hmm.
Which teacher's going to try to water and reap those. And so it's necessary to trust that in your absence, God is working.
Yeah.
But one thing that you can do, here's a practical application. If you deal with this, this fear of being absent because you don't want to, whatever the reason is, you don't want things to happen while you're not there. You don't want to let people down. Intentionality is really the key here. Stay connected to people. When you're leaving, when you have to be absent, whether it's just time to clock out or whether you're going on a trip or God's calling you somewhere else, be intentional about the times that you're away. Reach out to people that you know you have a relationship with and foster those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Stay connected. I love one of our mentors, Pastor Rob. He says you want to define your boundaries, but stay connected.
Yeah.
And so you want to know what God is calling you to do, but continue to foster those relationships.
Yeah.
It makes for less intense emotional strain in your absence.
Mm-hmm.
And it fosters authentic connection while you're there in your presence.
Yeah. And one of the things with that, when you're connected with people, you'll be able to actually communicate to them when you're going to be gone.
Yeah.
So it isn't a thing of like, well, I guess I thought I had a friend, but they're gone.
Now they're not around.
And we fail at that I mean, we tend to assume that because we've been planning something for a while, or because it's on our radar, on our calendar, constantly being reminded about something, that other people are also aware of it. But that's just not the case.
Yeah.
And so there has to be kind of a sensitivity to, oh, hey, my friend, my church member, my whoever you are, I'm going to be gone. And not apologizing for it as soon as you have to share it with them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to be gone. Yep. I'm going to be gone for this thing. And this is what's going on. It's going to be awesome. And yeah, I know I'm going to miss this other stuff when I'm gone, but I just want to let you know, because I care that you know this.
And if you're one of these folks that God has called you to stay put, that you're that bedrock, and mm-hmm. you're seeing people move in and out of your life, or there are people that just have a lot more fluid time management than you do, more absences that God has scheduled into their life. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you can do is recognize that your fulfillment, whether it's your spouse, your children, your boss, your coworker, your brother or sister in Christ,
your parent,
that's right. Your fulfillment can't be found in another person.
And that's good.
We all need to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us what it is we can't get from another person, which mm-hmm. is wisdom, which is fulfillment, which is wholeness, which is joy.
Yeah.
Which is stability.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying this from a place knowing that relationships are hard, even friendships as adults.
Yeah.
And so we have to have these things in place, especially as believers, staying connected. And when someone is your friend, trusting that they're following the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
and leaning on God in those moments where there's uncertainty or unclearness.
Yeah.
Unclearness? Is that a
word? Unclearity.
Unclariosity.
Yes.
Declarified.
That's very good.
Declarified butter. Sorry, go ahead.
Another thing to apply practically is to take your absence seriously. And by that, I mean, be intentionally gone. Don't just use absence as a last resort.
Yeah.
Or even a first response to something that's stressful or unmanageable, because it's very easy to run. We have this like biological thing. It's called fight or flight. And if you are not a fighter, you are probably one who, okay, this is really hard, and so I'm going to go away.
Then you're a flighter.
Then you're a flighter. And we don't want to give into that. We don't want absence to be something that we're doing begrudgingly, like, oh, I just have to get away from this, and I don't really want to leave, but I can't stay.
Yeah.
But you also don't want it to be like that first thing that you're going to just to get some relief.
Anytime you're challenged.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is big for me. I have my fight or flight is a shutdown. That's what mm-hmm. I don't want to run. I want to sleep. And which is kind of a retreat, you know, I want to back away when I'm stressed.
Yeah.
And so it's important. What you just said is so important for me to internalize, because I don't want that to be my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes, when you have to be gone or you have that alone time, it makes it so much more powerful because it's intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. And it isn't a reactive absence.
Like, that's right.
Reactive absences don't refuel or recharge. There can still be that room for the Holy Spirit, but again, it's not intentional. It's just out of this desire to escape or control something. Actually, Nick's boss has kind of a rule for all of his pastors in his district. He says,
And that's my superintendent, because Jesus is my boss.
Yes, of course, yes. I guess he would be the junior boss. I don't know. I heard that. But his rule or guideline for all of his pastors and their families is, what is it, 2 weeks?
Yeah, he asks us to take 2 weeks per year, and he suggests mm-hmm. that we take them consecutively because it's hard sometimes to unplug, especially from a job like ministry, mm-hmm. in 1 week.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like, because it takes 3 or 4 days to finally turn your brain off of what's going on back home.
And your phone.
Yes. And your emails. And so it takes a few days, and you need time to just actually be in the moment there with your family and doing whatever God's calling you to do.
Yeah.
But that's for vacation he's talking about.
Yeah, that's just vacation, which if you think about it, I mean, 2 weeks is a long time mm-hmm. to be gone. And most of you probably hearing this, like, what? 2 weeks gone from two Sundays? Like, two Sundays in a row? Like, that's a lot to commit to. But when it's intentional, when you plan it ahead of time, then you have the ability to say, okay, this will give someone else an opportunity to preach or to give testimony, or, hey, we can have a youth Sunday where, you know, the people in charge of service are all of our young people and they get to actually step into that role. And so it's important that this is a part of your life regularly, just like Sabbath should be a regular part of your week. This needs to be a bigger picture part of your life, this intentional absence, this intentional accepting someone's absence in your life. Because really, we know that this is just a glimpse of the reality that no one is permanent on this earth in our relationships. I mean, we have seasonal friendships and we have seasonal jobs. We have so many things. Parenthood is seasonal.
Yeah.
And our kids are adults longer than their children. And so all these things we understand, it's not always going to be like this forever. But we have to purpose ourselves to remember that and then to allow that to inform our decision making so that, hey, you know, this is fleeting. I understand the big picture, but now that I understand that, how can I trust the Holy Spirit more in this? How can I lean on Him more when my pastor's gone? Who has the Lord blessed me to have in my life that I can also serve?
Yeah.
I don't have to always be leaning on my pastor to do things for me or to show me things, or I don't have to always be relying on my mom or my dad. I don't have to always look to my boss.
Yeah.
Or I don't have to always look to my employees, whatever it is, or your spouse.
That's right.
And it's just a way for us to really take to heart what Jesus taught us with His earthly ministry.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, I'm here. I'm going to be invested in you. I'm going to look you in the eye and I'm going to show you how to get this done. And I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. But I want you to understand I'm not always going to be here physically with you. And it's okay. And it's actually better that I won't be here, because there will be one who will empower you to do greater things than I have done. And it's just amazing that we get to be a part of that.
Amen.
So next week, we'll be coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee.
Speaking of absences.
We're going to be gone.
We're going to be on the road again. Nick Smith Podcast Mobile.
This is our real life.
No myth.
So just to remind you, we had done an episode last month. It was when we were in California, talking about the Academy of Dreamers.
Whoop, whoop.
So if you don't know about it, I would really love it if you would follow my page on Facebook, my personal page. So just go to facebook.com/thesingingpastor'swife, all one word. And pastor is spelled O-R at the end, just so you know.
Thank you, because my spelling is bad.
Yeah, I was thinking of you.
Thank you.
So go to that. You can follow all that I'll be doing. We can't really tell you. I can't tell you what studio I'm going to be at, which is kind of cool. I can't tell you. You're like on the edge of your seat about it.
I am definitely.
But I can tell you it's a world-renowned studio, and I'll be working with some of the best producers and songwriters in the country, in music.
Yeah, it's not just Christian music, but just in music
in general. So please follow what I'm doing on social media. Follow the hashtag Dreaming on a Mission. And also, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to join us, I have some really cool stuff that I'm able to do through the Nick Smith Podcast.
What? We are actually supporting our current dreamer, Kylie Jo.
Yes.
And we've got a limited edition exclusive t-shirt that we are offering.
Yeah.
But there's a way you can get one for free.
What?
And if you want to get a Dreaming on a Mission Kylie Jo exclusive t-shirt.
Yeah.
You need to hit up Kylie Jo or hit us up on social media and be like, hey, how do I get this t-shirt?
Yes.
Because I need it in my life.
Yeah. And just to update you with the last challenge that I did, I had talked about needing 10 sponsors. And it's amazing how I set that goal for my birthday, and it was really cool. And I actually was able to exceed that. So I didn't.
Won't he do it? Come on. Right?
Come on. And I was worried. Here's the crazy thing. I was worried because we weren't home. That I wasn't going to get. I was like, what are we going to do? We're going to be traveling. How am I going to get all these sponsors? And it's crazy because even in our absence, there was room for the Holy Spirit. And He provided above and beyond what I needed for that challenge. So it was so cool. Thank you to everyone who sponsored a child.
Yes.
And please just follow facebook.com/thesingingpastorswife.
So we hope that this has helped to educate and empower you in your relationships. If you have any questions or comments about something that you heard today, please send us a message. Leave us a comment on social media. We love to get messages. We love to get feedback. It lets us know that we're actually talking to other people and not just sitting in the Nick Smith studio, aka the Parsonage Basement, and recording episodes. So please, 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 please interact. Let's build a community.
Yes. So this has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.